The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, we will get through this. That's the phrase used repeatedly throughout Taoiseach Micheál Martin's live address last night as he outlined their updated plan, Living with COVID. But will vaccine targets alone see us through in time for something of a normal summer? I'm joined now by Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, Kingston Mills. Kingston, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I was talking to the Minister for Agriculture earlier, and it seemed to me that, and I put it to him, that the strategy is lockdown and vaccine. That's it. You know, there's nothing more that they're going to do. They're struggling towards a quarantine system, which will apply to some but not to others. So the vaccine really is the great hope. How likely is it that we're going to make that target of 82% of all of us vaccinated by June?
Yeah, I mean, it's very uncertain. And to make predictions is always very dangerous. We really had to pull back on the initial predictions of getting the over 70s vaccinated by the end of March because of the issue around the AstraZeneca vaccine. So making these predictions now, it actually might be better than they predict if a number of companies that are not yet licensed in Europe do get licensed, and it's very likely they will. We know that Johnson & Johnson vaccine is very good and it's likely to get licensed. We know the Novavax vaccine is very, very, very good, and may it's in a rolling review at the moment in the EMA. It may too get licensed, and the CureVac, another one coming along. So we actually may have more vaccines than we have right now. So that should maybe be the positive side of it, and that will certainly offset any issues that are related to supply or efficacy of the AstraZeneca vaccine. So I actually think we're in a good place in terms of supply in a couple of months. I mean, the issue then is getting it out to the people and having in place the infrastructure to immunise. I mean, and my reckoning, they're going to need to be immunising around 400,000 people a week to meet those targets. So that's not that demanding. I mean, the Danes have said they're going to immunise 500,000 people a week, and they have a population not much more than Ireland.
They're going to do 500,000 people a week.
Yes, that's their plan in Denmark. I mean, Denmark are very clever in that they have, first of all, they have managed to buy up additional doses of the Pfizer vaccine that other companies didn't take up. Some companies decided not to take the Pfizer vaccine because of the issues around storage, and, mm-hmm. and Denmark jumped in very quickly and bought additional doses of that vaccine. So they have more of supply than we do because of that. And they also have...
They were nimble. I presume those extra supplies that became available because, as we know, the EU was bulk buying for everybody and you got an allocation depending on your population. We get 1.1% of what the EU buys. So Denmark are saying, well, that particular country doesn't want it because they can't really handle the minus 70, which of course has changed. So we'll make a bid. And they succeeded.
Yeah. They did. And what's more, they have a fantastic integrated IT system in Denmark. They're not the only country, but they're one of them that have leading the charge on this, in that everybody has to have an app on their phone. They send them a message telling them when they're ready for a vaccination. They then have a full record of their vaccine administration on everybody's phone. That is then used as a certificate for, it's going to be used for travel. It will be used for access to other areas where people can show that they've been vaccinated, and Sweden is also buying into this, and other countries like Israel are buying into it. So I think this is going to be the future.
Yeah, the green pass in Israel. Once you've got your two jabs, you qualify for a green pass, and you can go to a theatre or a gym or whatever. This is the way they are going. We haven't heard anything about that sort of thing here, and yet there are people being vaccinated every day. So do we know how the HSE is coping with recording people being vaccinated and then allowing them to be able to prove that such has happened?
Well, we were told in December that Salesforce and another one of the IT companies were given the tender for providing an IT system for the vaccine rollout. But we've heard very little about this, whether it's operational. I knew that there were teething problems initially, and we heard people from the HSE said that we're still manually inputting data on vaccination, which defies belief that we can't have an an integrated IT system that takes, this is the time to do it. I mean, to get through all the issues that people had in the past around GDPR, etc. I know there are issues around that, but they can be solved. And get in place a proper integrated IT system, not just for vaccination, but for tracking the every health record of everybody in the country. And that then couples with your COVID app for contact tracing and testing. So, you know, we really need to up the game on this and follow the lead of the Danes and how they've done it, and don't reinvent the wheel.
Now, we are talking about, with AstraZeneca certainly using the GP system, they haven't really got the pharmacies on board yet, I don't think. But there's no doubt that we have had a very successful flu vaccination campaign. In fact, we ran out of vaccine supplies. It was so good. So many people wanted it, and we haven't really had an outbreak of flu. So we can do it, and we can do it actually fairly quickly if we have
supplies. And the pharmacists have been very keen to get involved in it, and I think, you know, they've been very effective at vaccines. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, giving a vaccine is not a particularly complicated procedure, and it's well within the capacity of lots of semi-trained individuals, whether they be pharmacists or you know, nurses or retired people who are very happy to volunteer to do this. I noticed in Scotland that they have drive-in vaccine centres where people drive up, roll down the window, expose their arm, and I saw a photograph of one person on the left and one from the right of the driver's seat and the passenger seat, both being vaccinated. They drove in there, parked their car, then waited for 20 minutes, and they were away. I mean, this is the way we need to be looking at, of having drive-in centres. I don't know what the plans are for mass vaccination, but something like this is, you know, it's doable. So I think we can vaccinate the 375,000 people or 500,000 in a week that we need to do to get the population vaccinated once we get the supply of the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, you see all sorts of drive-in facilities in the United States, the same. They've got drive-in vaccination centres. So there's no reason why we shouldn't have it. I mean, we have a Dublin centre, which is going to be in the Helix, a mass vaccination centre, and then there'll be one on the south side as well, I think in the Aviva. But I'm just thinking of the logistics. These are not exactly probably easy roll-up vaccination. Just thinking of the parking around DCU, I know it well.
Yep.
So maybe we need to think of, you know, big open factory areas that are out of use at the moment with massive car parks.
Massive car parks are the key to this, really. Finding areas that you can, you know, you can get lots of cars in and people in and out very quickly with well organised. So I think it can be done. You know, I think there's a will there amongst a lot of people to help, and I think, you know, you know, we should just crack ahead with it. I mean, and the whole, I mean, the big uncertainty of it all is the supply. But I would be optimistic that once the other manufacturers come on board, that we will have you know, significant supply in a few months' time. So then the issue will be not the supply. The issue will then become the efficiency of the rollout.
Yeah. And if the Danes are talking about 100,000 per day or over 500,000 a week, why not us? And if we managed to get the supply to do that and got everybody on board, you know, I'm suspecting and I'm hoping I'm right that the government now is under-promising so that they can over-deliver. Whereas before, they've been over-promising and under-delivering. So, you know, it's better to be able to give good news.
It is, but it is also sometimes dangerous to give news based on projected predictions of what you're going to have. And I think it's better to be completely honest with the public and say, look, this is the story right now. We know we're going to get this. We may get this if the vaccine is approved. And then I think everybody knows where they stand.
Do you think it's possible for, you know, the government to lay out a plan which is filled with provisos? You know, if we get Johnson & Johnson, this will be the rollout. If we get Novavax, this will be the rollout. We have supplies coming of Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca. And if we only have those, well, this is the kind of rollout we'll have. That kind of honesty that shows the scenarios.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, that's I think what the public wants to know, and they want all the facts about, they want the facts about what the different vaccines are as well, in terms of their side effects, their efficacy, etc. I think, you know, openness and transparency is critical in getting public buy-in. I think there will be very good public buy-in. I think the numbers of people now who've said they won't have the vaccine is very low compared with what it was 3 or 4 months ago, because people are seeing that it's been given to lots of people without significant issues, and that the crisis is so chronic that we need to have a release from it, and everybody sees the vaccine as a way out, and that is absolutely correct. Now, it's not the only way out. I just had to say that I do agree with the comments from your listeners about the testing, and the isolation. We really have not done the best job here. I mean, we really need to be doing now mass screening with antigen testing in workforces, universities, and in schools. We need to be ensuring that the big fly in the ointment are the variants. So if we let these variants in from Brazil, South Africa, and the ones that are now emerging in the United States that are going to cause a problem for the vaccine, then the whole rule book is torn up, and you start again in terms of where you're going to be in terms of getting immunity in the population, because it will be much more difficult when we have these variants. It won't be insurmountably impossible to clear them, but it will set us back. So we must keep these variants. I'm not talking about the UK Kent or the B117 variant, because that's not a big issue. It's the South African, Brazilian, and this new American variant that has what's called a recombinant virus. Big issue for vaccination, so we need to keep those out.
Now, the question for immunologists is, how quickly can a vaccine be developed, or a booster? Like the UK, they're talking about having a booster program in the autumn, which would cope with variants. And Oxford are already, I believe, working on such a program. So is that really what we're going to be looking forward to, that we'll have broad protection, but then we'll have to get very specific protection every year?
I think that's a very likely possibility. And again, it's impossible to be very 100% certain about this, because you really don't know what it's going to happen with the virus next. But what we do know right now is that the South African Brazilian variant and the one that emerged in the UK, which is a bit like not the original Kent variant, but one that emerged in Bristol and Liverpool, they're going to cause a problem. Not a problem in that the vaccine won't prevent completely against them, but it will be reduced. And so what the companies are doing right now, they're already started. They're making a new version of the vaccine, which will incorporate the changes that are in the South African Brazilian variants. And that, you know, will take them, they say, around 6 weeks. They will have it ready in 6 weeks, but then they need to test it, not in phase 3 trials. It'll be much smaller trials. It'll take maybe 3 months to get that ready. And then you'd be looking at, even people already vaccinated would get a booster with the new vaccine, or people who haven't been vaccinated would get a cocktail. You know, it would be a bit like the seasonal flu vaccine. Seasonal flu vaccine at the moment has four different viruses in it. So you could foresee a situation where the COVID-19 vaccines will have several variants in it, and that will be covering all options that are circulating at that particular time. But that doesn't take care of what's going to appear in the future. And then they have to be ready to adapt to that. So you're absolutely right. We'd be looking at getting this as a booster vaccine probably every year, but who knows? It depends on how much the virus changes.
People suggesting locations for vaccination centres, the IKEA car park just off the M50, which is up the road, of course, from DCU and the Helix. That's from Eamon. Airports, the empty car parks in the airports, which are not busy at the moment, an option for mass vaccination. Someone else saying, why not a 24-hour service? I'd go for my jab at 4 a.m. if required. That would depend on having a number of vaccinators available. Because I'm told by another texter, the HSE is actively recruiting physiotherapists and other medical professionals to be vaccinators. So, perhaps...
That's great news. I mean, that's what they should be doing.
All right, Kingston, look, thank you very much for making us all feel a little more cheerful about the prospect of getting a shot in the arm before too many weeks have elapsed. That's Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin.